Questo è l'audio che ho trovato. Ну, как ты лучше
Where's the guy this morning? Where's the guy going out to bed? I'm staying in bed.
That's the other one.
You want to stay in bed?
Interview met Roy. You are a member of the committee. What is your function?
I'm a craftsman at the colony, an underground craftsman, and I'm the craftsman's representative at the branch level on the NUM, and I represent the craftsman's point of view. That is, if any craftsman under normal circumstances has a problem, he first contacts me and I try to resolve that problem. But my basic function is to, under normal circumstances, is looking after the craftsmen's interests and the union. Yes?
Yes.
Very much changed during the strike. Yep. We're all involved with the strike as one. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You've been on pickets?
Many times.
Many. There's a lot to do about the violence. What do you think about it?
Well, violence in nearly every case, and I've been on many pickets. From beginning of strike, I've been on many pickets, and the violence has always been, in my view, perpetrated by the police. The police presence, if there's only a few police, then very rarely is there violence. It is the intimidation of the police in large numbers by bringing riot squads when there's been no trouble whatsoever, horses in full view and dogs, and unleashing these with very little trouble. This has started the violence. The police are in control of the situation completely. If there's violence on a picket line, it is because the police have caused that. Because they're in total control. They can keep it peaceful or they can create violence. Totally under the police's control. There's that many police, they are that well organised, that they can control us peacefully if they wished. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In Holland, a lot of people think the strike will soon be over.
Yeah. The strike can only be over when Margaret Thatcher, the government, which is the real coal board owners, she is the one that's stopping a negotiated settlement now. And until Margaret Thatcher gives in to our demands that every man should keep his job in the coal industry and his son should have a right to a job as well, and that means keeping colonies open, keeping communities alive. Until Margaret Thatcher concedes that, then this strike will carry on.
What has changed in Britain since Thatcher came in power?
Oh, yeah, very big question. That so much. The freedoms of people are constantly being undermined. She's done this by a policy of mass unemployment. The biggest change has been mass unemployment. This in effect has put worker against worker. The unions are no longer so strong. Massive legislation to curb trade union powers so that it is very difficult now for them to organise. Even when they're organised and they've got good leadership, she's now putting that many financial restrictions, and the courts are working hand in glove with Thatcher to put financial restrictions on unions, and therefore their inability to control an effective strike is somewhat weaker. But so many aspects of British way of life is changing under Thatcher. Well, she always says this, it's under democracy. Mm-hmm. And if people would just stop and realise what is happening, there's more against democracy now than there's ever been. She has just, she's in the process of abolishing the larger metropolitan councils and the GLC. The people of London voted in the last local elections overwhelmingly for Labour, something like a 12-point swing to Labour, therefore a mandate for the GLC, as the GLC stood on what it is, on its body. But Thatcher still maintains that the GLC and the other metropolitan councils are to be abolished. This is the reason being it is a power base for Labour. They're all, the five large metropolitans are all Labour controlled. And it's just another way of stopping any opposition as she has done with the unions. So democracy in this country is diminishing rapidly. Also, a bill of privatisation of public assets. There's just been a massive sale, probably the biggest sale ever in the world, of British Telecom. This was a public-owned company that was making millions of pounds profits. This in turn went to the Treasury and so back to the people. She's now put it in the hands of private enterprise, and the profits, what we have, and all the investment what the taxpayer has put in to make this very profitable company. Now all our funds, what we've been paying taxes for years, and to get this company is now going to go, the returns are going to go into private enterprise and big multinational companies. And this is going to be a policy, and this of course is a fear we have in the mines, that she will close the small mines, the large, more profitable mines will be privatised.
That's just trying to break the strike. What methods does he use?
Well, by far the worst method, I think. Let's Britain, if you, I must start, Britain is run by local police. Each area has a chief constable, and he's supposedly only responsible for that area. There is no national police force in Great Britain. But after only 1 week, in fact, probably less, after a few days of the strike, she brought in special powers. We have now got a centralised police force in Scotland Yard. All the strike and all the thing is controlled from Scotland Yard in London. Mm-hmm. And she mobilised all the police from all different areas. So we are now faced with a national police force, so therefore much better organised. This is one weapon she's now using against us. The massive police presence and the pats on the back the policemen, the police constantly getting. So encouraging them to be violent with minors, but by far probably the most effective is the courts and how the courts are behaving to minors. For relatively minor offences, people are being put on bail, and so restrictive as it prohibits them from picketing, so being effective. Some even were, minors are being jailed, heavy fines. This is stopping active members going along and fighting for what they believe and keeping the numbers down the picket lines as well. And also the legislation against trade union. We have that many injunctions coming at the unions and each different area of the union. They're really like confetti. The sole aim is to put that much financial pressure that we are enabled to carry on our normal business. But this won't happen, because we will carry on regardless. We don't need money to carry on fighting. We will win. Also, sorry about that, Franz. Okay. Can you stop it?
Since the strike started, your opinions have changed. Can you tell something about it?
Yes, I can. I was, and my wife were just normal, what we classed as normal, honest, law-abiding citizens, very much respect for the British policemen. We lived in a smallish town. We see very little from the outside world except for what we get through the television and the national papers. But since this strike, and I've been involved from day one of the strike, and seen just how the British police can react to people whose only crime is to stand up and fight for a job. And the weight of the state can come down so hard. Then I started to think about other groups of people who've been claiming police harassment and that the government was trying to suppress them, and suddenly I started to realise that there was some credibility in what they were saying. The IRA, perhaps before this strike, I really hated, thought they were killing British soldiers, and now I realise just why the violence in Northern Ireland is as it is. Because very similar scenes I've seen on the television in Northern Ireland, I've seen on picket lines. No different. No different whatsoever. In London, I was there a few weeks since, and the blacks, they were very understanding towards a minor's cause. Because I realised that what we have been suffering the last few months, they have been suffering for years. And for years. So they, if not, had sympathy with our case, certainly had sympathy in what was happening with the police, and this in effect gave them made them give their solidarity to us. because they could see what was happening with the police. If they didn't necessarily understand our cause, they could see what was happening with the police. And of course, we started to realise, my wife and many more like me, that we are living in a very near fascist state. Really, that's what it's all about. And that may sound very... But it's not that far away from it. Really, it isn't. And it's so close. It's unbelievably close. And I'm getting very, very much more politically aware of all the time. And there's one thing, certainly when this strike's over and done with, that no longer will I sit down and take my lot. From now on, I will carry on the struggle, because this is a class struggle. And until we get changes, then I will carry on being active. That's what this strike's done to me.
A month ago, the NCV, the miners' bosses, and the government started a big campaign to get miners go back to work. Did it succeed?
No. There's been resources, unbelievable, billions of pounds put into getting miners to go back to work. I think even on government figures, they have succeeded in probably 10,000 miners returning to work. These, I stress, are government. We have reason to believe these figures are true. In fact, on all the media, it no longer says men working. It does say men not striking. There are many miners who aren't working, but through illness and injuries are claiming sickness benefit. They are, although really not on strike as such, had they not been sick or injured, would be on strike. Mm-hmm. Yes, but they are not working. So the figures are somewhat thin. And billions of pounds, massive ads in all the national newspapers, constant bombardment from the television, bribery. She's bribed them to extent of £1,400, which is our money in any case. It's our own money from already paid what's owed, from wages we got before the strike started, which we haven't yet been paid, and in tax rebates we should have obtained, but nothing's been paid to us. They were only promising to pay these men this amount of money before Christmas, and my belief is after Christmas there will be a lot of these men that has returned to work will rejoin the strike.
Now they're trying to steal the union's money. Is this possible, and what will happen if it is?
I'll answer the latter part of the question first. If they do steal his money, and they do get it, what will happen? The strike will carry on. The rest of the trade union movement, although we haven't had much support in active terms, financially, there is massive support coming from trade unions, not just in England and Britain, but all over the world. And our struggle will carry on, irrespective of what Thatcher does with the money. Obviously, it puts financial restrictions on our ability to work, but the strike will carry on. There's no two ways the strike will carry on. Whether or not they will get this money is another thing. With our unions, or it appears, this is only my opinions, that the union has managed to hide money up and down in different countries. The sequestrators have found it, frozen it, and in one country in particular, in Luxembourg, this was unfrozen. Then they, as soon as they realised this money was going to be able to be available to the NUM again, they then appointed an official receiver, in effect our three trustees, which is Arthur Scardle, Mick McGackie and Peter Efield, who are the people that control the finance at national level, were in effect sacked, and a government agent put in to run the financial affairs of our union. It remains to be seen just what other plans our three officers have have made to try and prevent this. This I look forward to seeing. Yes.
The miners get hardly any money from the union. How do they survive?
Well, with many ways of surviving. We have, there's soup kitchens popped up all the way around the coal fields. Nearly every miner has the chance to go and get at least one hot meal per day. Also, we have many support groups throughout the country working on behalf of the miners, and these funds and people collecting food and clothes, and these funds are sent to branches, and we in turn purchase food or food vouchers where people can go along and buy food, and we distribute them to any member that's suffering hardship. And although times are very hard, people are managing to live, and we are not starving as such because of the massive help we're getting. But the unions, although aren't paying strike pay, because we've never had an industrial fund or a strike fund, but in many ways they are helping in hardship cases, covering funeral costs and things like this. Members have only got to apply and tell them they are suffering hardship, and in some way we will try to alleviate that hardship.
Yes. You're striking for 9 months now, and still there is no solution. Will the miners send Thatcher home, or will Thatcher send the miners back to work in the end?
Well, after 9 months of struggle and 9 months of strike, we have given up too many. We've got past the pain barrier, not having any money. For months now, we couldn't get any worse off than what we are now. All the savings anyone had have all been gone many months since. So we've got past the pain barrier. We've given 9 months of our lives to this struggle. And if it takes another 9 months, or indeed another 2 9 months, then it will carry on. No, Thatcher won't send the miners back to work. Not in my opinion, in any case, and many more like me. No way.
I want to ask you another question. The people who are going back at work now because of they get money for Christmas.
Yes.
And will maybe strike on after Christmas. What do you think of them?
Well, personally, I believe that we've got to take these people back into the fold. As much as there'll be bitterness against them, they obviously will. We have very close communities in the mining communities, and we see these people as betrayers. It's really treason, and it'd be a very hard pill to swallow to take these people back into the fold. But if they've seen the error of the ways, and everybody's allowed a mistake, and I certainly for one will work to gain these people accepted back into the fold to rejoin the strike and carry on this struggle. It's the only way forward, really. Bitterness will only force them back to work. We must forget and let them rejoin the strike. And let's forget the bitterness.
When, let's say tomorrow you win the strike, Thatcher gives in. Is it true that you've had trouble for, say, at least the next year?
Oh, yeah, because although we're eating very well, but financially, as debts, as mortgages, as rents, as electric bills, as gas bills, just haven't been paid. And although these people, in particular in Yorkshire, have been very good to us, they have understood our problem, and really haven't put that much financial pressure to bear on us. But after the strike, everyone's going to be wanting their money. So, for every month of strike, for another month, it will take to get back on our feet to what we had before. So maybe if we went back to work tomorrow, as you say, then perhaps this time next Christmas, I would sort of be getting to a position where I weren't in a position where I owed people a lot of money. So maybe another 12 months after this strike is finished, yeah.
Mm-hmm.